Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we are going to wrap up the teaching that we've been doing on the gifts of the Spirit. And these are gifts that God distributes to the body that are supernatural. They're not natural in their where they come from or how they're used, and they're for the benefit of others. And we have a God that has, as we read the Bible, He has done this from ages gone by, and He continues to do that through His body. And so we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And if we go to our text, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, we see the purpose statement that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Message Bible says, "I want you to be informed and knowledgeable." So when it comes to the gifts and the supernatural working of God, it shouldn't just be legend. It shouldn't just be based on what we see or experience, but it can be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and His instruction. In verse 7 of that same chapter, we have a purpose statement, and it says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." All right, the New Living Translation puts it this way: "A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other." So the gifts of the Spirit are not for the ones using them. They're the ones who are receiving them. And so God wants to use our lives and do some things towards us that are not just for us, but for other people. Paul said it this way to a church. He said, "You've heard about the grace of God that was given to me for you." And so the gifts of the Spirit, God wants to be our life to be as kind of like a hose pipe or a conduit of His grace and mercy through our lives towards other people, all right, to benefit and to help people. So last week, and I thanks so much to Pastor William for starting off the power gifts of healings, all right? And aren't you glad God confirmed those? And we've had some great testimonies of people that God healed last week, and thank God that He's alive today. And so the three of the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, are God doing something, okay? We looked at the revelation gifts, that God is showing something. Utterance gifts, that God is speaking something. And so the power gifts, God does something. So we looked at the gifts of healings, and today we're going to look at the working of miracles and the gift of faith. So look over here, and you can kind of just pretty much keep your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 12. If we go somewhere else, just keep your finger there, because we're going to look at this from time to time today. But notice here, as these gifts are listed in verse 8, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles." So we want to look at the gift of working of miracles and the gift of faith today. All right, now we'll start by looking at that working of miracles. And what we must realize is that a miracle, as God does miracles and we see them in His Bible, a miracle is when God bypasses the normal way that the earth takes place. So for instance, Joshua, God said, "Command the sun to stand still." Okay, and so it did. All right, now obviously we would know today that there's a rotation of the earth. Okay, the Bible is not meant to be a scientific book, it's a God book. All right, and so that doesn't happen normally. Okay, but it was a miracle that took place. So a miracle, the working of miracles, is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature by the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes you and I use the word miracle, and we use it kind of as a phrase, as if a miracle, or, you know, that was a miracle goal. Can you believe Drogba missed the penalty in the cup final? It was a miracle. No, it wasn't a miracle. He just missed it. Amen? Because Ivory Coast was praying that he would make it. I know we were praying strong blocking prayers, right? But we say sometimes, you know, a baby is born and we say, oh, it was a miracle. Well, if you remember back to health class, they actually told you how babies were born. And there's only been one miracle baby, and that was Jesus. Okay, all other babies have a mom and a dad, and we'll leave it there because we've got kids today in the congregation. So when this says working of miracles, it's not a miracle goal or a miracle job. It is when God supernaturally intervenes to cause things to happen that could not ever happen normally. And when we read the Bible, it is a book. It is an account that is wall to wall miracles. All right. From the first page to the last. And so, but let's look at a few of these because I think it's good to remind ourselves what God has done and how normal miracles are in the plan of God. All right. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. All right. So this is Elisha, the prophet, and there was a group of people called the sons of the prophets that were, it seemed like, assisted them in the work that they were doing. And in 2 Kings 6, verse 4, they're cutting down some trees. There were some things that they were going to do. In verse 4, it says, so he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan River, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. How many of you have ever broken something that was borrowed? Okay, so you understand this frustration. So an iron axe head. Now here's the thing with the miracles of the Bible. We don't have to explain them away. Well, maybe it was a special iron ore that floats. Well, there is no special iron ore that floats. Okay, iron, this was a metal that was used to chop down trees, right? So the axe fell to the bottom of the Jordan River. Okay, verse 6. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. That's the working of miracles. That this doesn't happen every day, right? Okay. Turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. So Jesus had been preaching. There was a big crowd that was there, and the disciples said, hey, Jesus, should we have an intermission? Let them go into town and get some food. He said, no, you feed them. And they said, well, all we have is a small boy's lunch. We've got these 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he said, give them to me. Verse 19, Matthew 14, 19. He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they ate and were filled. Okay, so this wasn't 5,000 people sharing lunch and realizing, oh, I shouldn't take too much. We've all been there, right? Go to somebody's house and you count 10 people and you count 3 pieces of chicken. And so if you're kind, you say, okay, no, thank you. I'm fasting today. No, they ate and they were filled. Okay, if there were any teenage boys in this group, that was a lot of food. Okay. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So this was a miracle of provision. Look at 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Now, I just want to remind you, the Bible is not a book of fairy tales. Okay, it's not science fiction. It's not Aesop's Fables or Lord of the Rings. It happened. Okay, all of these things happened. And they happened the way that God said that they did. 1 Corinthians 17. Now, this was the prophet Elijah. And Elijah gave a prophecy to King Ahab. And because of his wickedness and what was doing that, there was going to be a famine in the land. All right, and it was going to be a lot of trouble for Ahab. And so God knew that I still need to take care of my people. And my prophet. So the word of the Lord came to him, this being Elijah, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. All right. So this is God's direction of where to get provision. All right. And thank God he knows how to do that. But the second part is supernatural provision. All right. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. All right. These are birds that are going to bring food to the man of God. Now, that doesn't happen, right? That would take a miracle, because birds eat food. Birds don't have cognitive ability to know, oh, this guy looks hungry. Let me go share with him because of the goodness of my raven heart. Okay. Verse 5. So God said what was going to happen, and then it really actually happened. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Now this is pretty amazing, isn't it? So you have a guy, and he's just living by the river. And every morning he wakes up, oh, what are we going to eat today? All of a sudden, here come the birds. Deposit this, and he eats. He gets hungry in the evening, and he eats again. All right? And so God did this as a miracle to provide for someone that he loved. Turn to Psalm 78. Okay? This is an account. It's a wonderful psalm. I tell you, it really challenges me every time I read it, because in the psalm, it talks about God's heart of how much he loves his people and brought him out of Egypt and did all these wonderful things, and they forgot, they complained, they sinned against him. God was angry, yet God showed mercy. Still work with them, they still complained, they still doubted. Okay, but here we have a section that gives us quite a great description of many of the miracles that God did for the children of Israel. Psalm 78, verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up like a heap. In the daytime, he also led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. How many is the last time you've seen a pillar of fire at night? It doesn't have, maybe you've seen a shooting star, right? But no, this was a supernatural manifestation of God. Verse 15, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance from the depths. Jehovah borehole drilling. Right? Supernatural water coming out of rocks. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Now, again, sometimes when we think about this, but this was water enough for 2 million people to drink. Okay, this is not a little pond or a swimming pool. Okay, this was a huge amount of water that God brought forth for his people. All right, so we see that God did miracles for his people. Now, the thing is that God is still the same today. Okay, and so we thank God for the miracles of the Bible, but God has not lost his touch. And here's the other thing, you and I are still in need of miracles. And I think this is a challenge in the world that we live in 2013, because as mankind, we have gotten pretty smart. Okay, 200 years ago, if you had a disease, you went to the doctor and he put a leech on you and sucked out the bad blood. Now we realize, okay, that's a really dumb thing to do. Okay, we have antibiotics, we have surgeries, there's so much amazing things. We can go on a plane, fly around and come back, be in another continent in a few hours. We have really figured out some pretty cool stuff as mankind. And we live in the benefits of those, right? You can watch TV on your phone. Okay, that was a science fiction movie 30 years ago, and now you and I just kind of get used to that. So that's all wonderful, but the problem with all of this is that many, many times is that we kind of relegate God to what we can understand. And it's so sad that many modern theologians, they try to explain away all the miracles of the Bible. That when Jesus went to the cross, you know, he was wounded, he wandered around for a few days and then he died and he stayed dead. Or he revived and moved to Turkey and married Mary Magdalene and raised a family. That the parable, you know, that the story of the five loaves and two fishes, that's not real. It's a parable that we need to share with each other. Well, thank God that little boy shared, but God actually multiplied food. The children of Israel actually ate food that rained from the sky called manna. Okay, and so God still wants to do miracles in our life. And I don't know about you, but there are multiple times in our life where we need a miracle. That there is no human answer to what we need. All right? You get to the Red Sea and it is closed up and Pharaoh's army is behind. And there they are bigger than you. The doctor says, I'm sorry, there is nothing we can do. There's no surgery, there's no help, there's no medicine. What do you need? You need a miracle. Amen? And so thank God he works miracles today. All right? The greatest miracle of the entire Bible is when Jesus was raised by his Father. And the power of God came and raised him from the dead. And this is what Paul said. He says, because there were some that didn't believe in the resurrection. And he says, if we don't have the resurrection, we are damned. We are in our sin and we are lost. And so take away the miracles of the Bible and take away a God who doesn't do miracles. And there is no Christianity. It is gone. Let's just go get some self-help books from the bookstore and try to do good, be nice and sweet. No, we have a God of miracles. Amen. So the working of miracles are when God suspends natural laws in nature and does things. The gift of faith is kind of the other end of that, okay? In that the working of miracles, gifts of healings, are when God supernaturally kind of bypasses normal systems and does things. The gift of faith is when God bypasses the way you and I normally believe, that is by looking to God's word, understanding his character, his love, his faithfulness, all of his attributes. And then the natural response of our heart is to believe, to have faith. All right. And the Bible says that we are to live by faith. All right. The gift of faith is simply that. It is when there is a supernatural impartation of faith to receive from God. All right. The gift of faith is not just someone who is, you know, kind of a strong person or seems to have faith. It's in a certain moment where there is an impartation of faith. All right. And we'll talk about what that looks like. But let's see an example from the Word of God in the sixth chapter of Daniel. The sixth chapter of Daniel. So again, this is not general faith. This is not living by faith. All of that is hugely important. All right. But this is, and again, when God, in a sense, bypasses the normal way that he created. Daniel 6. So what's happened is Daniel, he loves the Lord. He stands for the Lord. And he has had a long track record of that. And Darius, the king, liked Daniel. But there were people that were against Daniel. And they were jealous of him. And so they kind of tricked the king into making a law that says you can't pray. And the penalty for that is death. And so Daniel continued to pray with the curtains open. Would you pray if the penalty was death? Or would you say, well, Lord, I just want to silently pray from my heart. And you know my heart. Well, David said, no, I'm not going to change my godly lifestyle because of the laws of the land. All right. And so he said, all right, these were the consequences. The king realized that this was a trick, but he couldn't change the law. And so they threw David into a den, a pit, where there were lions. Okay? And so the king comes back to see what has happened the next day. Daniel 6, 19. Then the king Darius rose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, your God, whom you serve continually, has he been able to deliver you from the lions? Okay, so we can see that the king didn't really have faith, did he? He was wondering, he was crying, He was hoping maybe a little glimmer. And so up comes this voice from the bottom of the pit, verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in God. All right. In Hebrews 11, this is referred to. It says that by faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. By faith. Whose faith? His faith. Now, you and I, in a sense, general faith, where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God, right? So why do I believe that God is a provider? Because He has assured me in His Word that He is. Why do I believe that if I lack wisdom, I can ask and He'll give? Because the Word of God says so. All right. So we have, the Bible says, exceedingly great and precious promises. And that's the foundation that we build our faith upon. And our faith in God and His Word is the foundation that we build our life upon. And so we live according to what we believe. Now, Daniel did not have a Bible verse that he could say, oh, let me just turn over here to Deuteronomy. Just trust God in case you ever get thrown to lions. There was no foundation. There was no revealed will of God for this situation. So what did God do? He imparted faith to him. He believed God. It was a supernatural impartation of faith. All right. And some people would say, oh, well, maybe the lions weren't hungry. Well, the next verse, they take the guys that had tricked the king, threw them in there, and they got eaten before they even hit the ground. Okay? God stopped their mouths because Daniel believed, and that faith was a supernatural impartation from God. I know in my life, and I've really only had, to what I am aware of, this only happened one time in my life. And, you know, at church, we have care team people that pray for you. We've got healing teams. We've got people. We've got pastors. There's lots of ways that we want to stand with you and pray with you and believe God's word will come to pass in your life. All right. And so we see in James 5, and it's kind of the model that we have is, you know, is any sick among you? Let them, the sick, call for the elders of the church and let them pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord will raise them up and heal them. All right. So there's faith on both sides, right? There's faith in those that call because they believe that God's going to do something. And then there are those who are praying that are praying the prayer of faith. All right. So there's this arena of faith. And many times that was the way that Jesus healed people, right? They came to him. They were healed. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. All right. But there were on other occasions where Jesus, with the gifts of the Spirit in operation, people were healed and we don't really see any faith present. Peter's shadow, as he would walk by, he would just walk by sick people and they were healed. All right. What happened? Gifts of the Spirit. Okay, working in miracles, gifts of healing. We see in John chapter 5, an angel would come and stir up water. And anyone, the first person, whatever they were sick of, they would be instantly healed. What's that? That's a gift of the Spirit. Now, so God has many avenues in which He works and He does. And for instance, in healing. And it's my opinion, is the reason why God has different ways that He heals is because He really wants us to be healed. All right. There's not one way and only one way. And so through the gifts of the Spirit, that is one of the ways that God heals. And so in praying for our members and things like that, I typically say, hey, where are you? You know, what are you looking to the Lord for? Where's your heart? How can I stand with you in faith? Okay. And I remember I was called to the hospital. It was a Friday. And this was a number of years ago, and I got there, and it was a really desperate situation. There was a family member, and it looked like they were about to go to heaven, okay? and it was a young person, and it did not look good at all. All right, and you know, there was a group of people, some church folks, some non-church people, some people who weren't even born again, and there was a lot of desperation there. Okay, and I could see some people, in a sense, they were doing their best to trust the Lord. Some people were just were freaked out, screaming, crying. And so I kind of went off to the side. I said, you know, because I realized, you know, there's not a whole lot of faith here to stand with them. And I said, Lord, you know, what should we do? That was on a Friday. On a Wednesday, when we had our Wednesday Bible study, Pastor Steve McMichael, myself, Pastor William had been teaching through the gifts of the Spirit. And on that Wednesday, Pastor William, I can't remember which one he was doing, but he quoting from 1 Corinthians 12, it says, earnestly desire the best gift. Okay? And the best gift is the gift that is needed at the moment. Okay, so if someone is about to die, you don't really need tongues and interpretation. Because that's not the best gift for that moment. And that the Holy Spirit just quickened to me what Pastor William had said. And I said, Lord, I earnestly desire the best gift. And I didn't know what that was, but I said, Lord, we need a gift of the Spirit here. And I earnestly desire. And again, I could say probably this has only happened to me once, is it felt like somebody put a piece of clothing on me. Or in a sense, something just came on the inside of me. Faith. And it was just kind of like wall-to-wall faith. And I remember going over to that bed and I rebuked that spirit and spoke to that body. And they came out of the coma. The doctors came, figured out what was wrong, and that person is alive and well today. All right? Because that's what was needed at the time. Okay? And so it really wasn't even my faith. All right? Because my natural faith, or what I could see, was that, Lord, I think we're in trouble here. Okay? If we're going to kind of go the regular route, we're going to probably be in trouble here. All right? And so thank God for the working of miracles. Thank God for the gift of faith. Amen? And God wants those to be flowing in your life. All right? Now, let me make a comment here, because having grown up in the Anglican Church, the charismatic outpouring that took place in the 60s and 70s, our family, we got to kind of see all of that on the front row. And they were very, very amazing, exciting times, okay? And people that had never been around the supernatural, you know, part of who God is, we got to see that. And it was just kind of an amazing thing. The ministry of people like Catherine Kuhlman, who was a mentor of Benny Hinn, okay? And she would have these healing meetings in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. People from all over America would come with sick people to those meetings. And in those meetings, she really had a wisdom from God and a mandate from God to create an atmosphere where there would be miracles. And thank God there are still places all over the world where it seems like God, there's an atmosphere for miracles and people are looking to the Lord. But what would happen a lot is people would go there, and I've seen this even happen here, where people will, you know, maybe go halfway around the world somewhere, and the gifts that are in operation, okay, it was not manifested for them, okay? Maybe I've seen people where, you know, they're looking to the Lord, they need to make a decision, they need to make a choice, maybe there's a fork in the road, and so they go to a meeting where perhaps prophecy or words of knowledge are in operation, and maybe they, you know, people begin to get picked out of the crowd, and somebody has a word, and the person leaves disappointed because they didn't get picked. They were hoping, but they didn't get picked. All right? And we have to realize that the gifts of the Spirit, as the Bible says, are as the Spirit wills. Okay, we don't turn these off and on. All right, we desire them. We are available. We are open, but they happen by the hand of God. Okay. You know, the axe head that went to the bottom of the river Jordan and floated back up through a gift of miracles, All right. Pastor Newberry, I remember when he was still living here, he told me he went fishing on the lower Zambezi with a guest. And he was fishing, and the fishing rod went into the lower Zambezi. And today it's still at the bottom of the lower Zambezi. Because there was no Bible verse that he could stand on, you know. Rod, come forth. Okay. So he said, I had to pay the guy money for his fishing rod. Okay. So we can always, always trust the Lord for what is in the Word of God and what is in our redemption through Christ Jesus. All right. So we can know what Jesus paid for and what belongs to us. And that can always be received by faith. And so I'm so thankful for the ministry of Kenneth Hagin and others who really helped bring light to the body of Christ, say in the area of healing, that thank God for the gifts and thank God for, and you know, last week, God began to give Pastor William words of knowledge. You know, God wants to heal this one. God wants to heal that one. But somebody else might have needed healing and thought, I guess God doesn't love me. Maybe I haven't been, you know, what makes them so special? Right? Well, the fact is, when you know that healing belongs to you, you can still receive by faith. Okay? And that was really what Jesus, the man who was waiting at the water as the angel would move it, Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? And he said, well, I don't have anyone to put me in the water. And when the water moves, somebody else beats me and I can't do it. And Jesus said, take up your bed and go home. You can trust me right now. And thank God he did. All right. And so thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. And we should be open and allow them in our when we get together. And again, not just for church services, not just for, you know, connection group. But think about Jesus. And we looked at this with the word of knowledge. Jesus is getting a drink. And a Samaritan woman comes and they begin to have a conversation. And we can see that Jesus is steering the conversation towards salvation, right? I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. Ooh, I'd like that water. What is that water? And they begin to have this conversation. But in this spiritual conversation, word of knowledge. The man that you're with is not your husband. In fact, you've been married 5 times. And what was her response? I perceive you are a prophet. Okay, so you might just be on the job and you might be just, you know, wanting to share your heart and share your faith. And all of a sudden, there's a word of knowledge. There's a gift of healing. And God says, hey, pray for them. Or maybe God supernaturally shows you that something's not right at their home or something like that. And it opens the door for God to use you in their life. Amen. So thank God for both. We can always stand in faith for what has been revealed to us, but we can also be open and allow the gifts of the Spirit to work in our lives and when we come together as the body of Christ. Amen? So, we must realize, we must be aware that God has done miracles and God still does miracles. Amen? Again, what is the best gift that is needed? In Psalm 78, as we read that, I would encourage you to look over that. One of the things that really annoyed God was that the children of Israel saw all these miracles that he had done, and then they doubted, then they forgot, all right? They wanted to go back. And so we need to be aware of not only the miracles of the Bible, but also the miracles that have happened in our life. And I'm so thankful that this church is named Miracle Life Family Church. I know 10 years ago when my wife and I came here, people said, well, are you going to change the name? And we thought, well, I don't know, not necessarily. We did strategic planning. And we've always just felt, no, let's keep the name the way it is. This church is dripping with miracles. And so if you ever find yourself, or maybe you're in right now, a tough spot, or where you realize, hey, if God doesn't come through, it's not going to happen. Well, you've come to the right place. You've come to a place that believes that God does miracles today. All right. We wrote a song about our church and in that, the phrase says, your life is a miracle life. All right. So if you're 37 years old and not married, miracles can happen to you. All right. Well, actually, it doesn't really take a miracle. It might take a few other things. Okay. I saw this was so cute. If you, I don't know who said this on Facebook, and if it's you, I apologize. But somebody said, I electrocute everything that is standing in the way of my prosperity. And I didn't want to be cheeky, but I almost wrote, are you sure you want God to answer that prayer? Because that might mean electrocuting your brain. Because that's probably the biggest barrier to your prosperity is right here. And probably you don't want that to be electrocuted. Okay. But this church, the way it was formed and what God has done for us, when he performed a miracle to keep us in that building, he performed a miracle to give us 20 acres of land, he performed a miracle to get us into this building, and there are a whole lot more miracles where these came from. We've got miracle marriages, miracle businesses, miracle babies in this church. We've seen miracle restoration. And so this place and the God that we serve wants to do miracles in your life. All right. That is who he is. And that's what he does. And so by understanding the gifts of the Spirit and being open to them, and especially open to let God use us, we want to see more miracles. Amen. We want to see more of his gifts. And again, not on our heart is, Lord, make us a better blessing to our world. Lord, make us a better blessing to the hurting humanity that we encounter. Because so many times, like Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Peter had the miracle power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Band, would you come? Worship team? God wants to minister to, I believe, some folks today. And what dropped in my heart initially, and I believe the first group of people that God wants to minister to are people who it has been on your heart and you have a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe especially as we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how God uses us in the gifts. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the doorway for the supernatural. It is the doorway for the supernatural. Okay, Jesus, with his early his disciples, and they became the apostles, he told them this. He said, wait for power from on high, and then you'll be my witnesses. Okay, in John chapter 20, he breathed on them. They received the Holy Spirit. Every single person, when you are born again, you receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. All right, he lives in you. And that indwelling presence, the Bible says, he teaches you. He shows you things. All right. And so that indwelling Holy Spirit is primarily for you. All right. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which then opens the door to the gifts of the Spirit, those are primarily for others. Okay. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. That's when the miracles started. As Peter and John and different ones, when they were in that upper room, the 120, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that's when the miracles started. All right. And God began to use them in a greater way than they'd ever been used before. Now, if you're born again, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not a second-class Christian, all right? But there are ways in which God wants to use you that right now, simply God is limited, okay? And I would invite you, take the limits off God. Allow him to use you however he wants to, all right? And out of love and compassion for others, say, you know what? I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be a greater witness to the world. I want God's supernatural power to be flowing through my life. Jesus put it this way, quoting Isaiah, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Okay? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Peter described that. All right? So if you're here today, you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe you've had that desire. It hasn't happened. All right. Today is your day. It's a very, very simple thing. Every church in the New Testament was a church that had received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit with those gifts operational. So if that's you and you say, hey, I would like that. I want God to use my life in such a way. I want to be a greater blessing. And I'm a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to receive that today. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Who are you? I believe some of you that's just so strong on your heart. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, just leave your hands up. Okay, just leave your hands up. All right. If you lifted up your hand, just come right over here. All right. My right, your left. Okay. We want to pray with you right now. Amen. God is a good God. All right. Benjamin, if you just come and help us here. I believe this, that if this is something that you have desired and you've sought for, there are sometimes two barriers in our mind that sometimes happen, okay? One is that we feel like, okay, I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I've made mistakes. Well, in the upper room, we have Simon Peter, who had publicly cursed out Jesus. Probably none of you have been that bad. Okay. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had received the forgiveness of the Lord. Okay. So your past does not disqualify you for this wonderful gift. All right. Another thing, and I think it's important to note, is that in the New Testament, when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence, okay, it's not the only thing that happens, but the initial evidence is a prayer language, speaking in other tongues. And in Acts chapter 2, I'll just quote it, it says that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to speak, all right, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. And I know sometimes people feel like, well, Lord, I thank you that you baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And they are waiting for the Holy Spirit, in a sense, to overpower them, or like something that you would see in a movie or something. Well, it would be just as if you're all looking up at me right now, if I asked you to say this word, say watermelon. Okay. Say it again. All right. Who gave you the word? I did. Who said it? You did. And that is a similar way that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, all right, and he will give you utterance, but they began to speak. And so it's really just yielding your heart and your life to the Holy Spirit and yielding your tongue to him, all right? And many other times, God's going to, for you to yield, to be bold, to pray for people, yield in other areas for him to flow through your life. All right. Now, Jesus said this. He said that God will give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks. Whoever asks. All right. And so if you are asking, then he is giving. Amen. So if you're asking, then he is the one who will give. All right. So congregation, would you just stretch out your hands right now? Just stretch out your hands on these beautiful folks right now and just lift up your hands. Pastor William Benjamin, we're just going to lay hands on you. But go ahead and say this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe that what I'm asking for is from your word, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you would fill me to overflowing. I thank you now. I ask you for this gift. I yield my life to you, my body, my tongue. I believe that just like in the Bible, that when hands are laid upon me, I will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and I will speak in other tongues. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right. Now, as you just continue to lift up your hands to the Lord, guys, just play music right now, no words or anything. But as hands are laid upon you, you determine, all right, as hands are laid upon me, as the Holy Spirit just begins to, in a sense, kind of bubble up in my heart, I'm going to speak out these words that God is going to give me. All right. So I would encourage you, please don't say hallelujah. Don't say praise the Lord. Those are good things to say. But right now, just go ahead and yield to the Holy Spirit as he comes upon you right now. All right. Congregation, just lift up. Just pray over these right now as God blesses them in a marvelous and glorious way. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive. That's it, sister. Just open up your heart. That's it, yeah. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, the gift of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. Living water coming up out of your heart, out of your belly. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just step out. Just step onto the other side. Just step on in, like jumping in a pool. Just step. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah, just yield to Him. Yield to Him. He's so good. He's so kind. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. Just begin to speak those words. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Thank you, Father. Receive the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and yield to Him. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, He loves you. He's good. Just go ahead and articulate. That's what's in your heart. Yes. Just go ahead and say those words, sister. Yeah, out loud. Yes, wonderful. Don't stop. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Spirit. Just yield yourself. Just yield your heart. That's right. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. Just be bold. Just step on out. Sister, go ahead. Just step on out. That's it. Be bold. Oh, it's not scary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, receive. Yeah, out of your belly will flow living waters. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive. Oh, in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All of you that have come forward, if you could just look at me right now, we want to pray with on an individual basis. All of you, if you've already gone back to your seat, please come back. We want to just give you a book, and some of you, you've received, and the prayer language just came very quickly. Others of you might have a question or two, all right? And as soon as you get that question answered by people that know the Word of God, it'll come real, real easy. All right. So if you would just turn and follow Nellie here. She's in yellow. Benjamin here, if you could go with them. If you would just turn and follow us right now, we're going to just want to pray with you individually and make sure that everything that God wants to take place in your life is happening. Wonderful. Let's just lift up our hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much, Father, for these precious men and women, Father, that you are filling and overflowing of your goodness and your Holy Spirit to operate in their life in a greater measure. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet? And we just want to worship the Lord and recognize Him and recognize that He is a miracle worker. Amen. Let's just sing this song with the praise team and recognize who God is.
Miracle.
our hearts in the first service, and I believe the Lord would want to do the same in this service. Some of the miracles that we saw in the Word of God were miracles of provision, all right? That God loves His children. He loves to take care of us and to help us. But there were times where, because of surroundings that people were in, or a drought, or they were in the wilderness, that God supernaturally provided for His kids and for His people. And if you're here in this place, and I think all of us could say, well, Lord, you know, we want our finances to go better or do better. We need more wisdom. But I'm talking about you're in trouble, all right? And you need a miracle. There is nothing that you can do about it. And you, in a sense, are between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And you need a miracle. The great thing is God does miracles. He does miracles of provision. All right. Now, again, please hear my heart. All right. If you need prayer for an exam, wait till the end of the service. We'll pray. There are people here would love to pray for that. All right. If there's a healing in your body, God wants to minister to that, but not right now. Okay. You know, if you're looking for to get a better job, that's not a miracle. All right. We want to minister to people that God wants to specifically minister to these people, all right? And in ministering like this, it breaks the flow of what God wants to do if you say, well, you know, pray for my auntie, she's in the hospital, okay? So please hear, if you are in a very, very tough situation, it could be in your business, it could be person, but you need a miracle, then come up right now. Come up right now. Ushers, if you could just, from this middle section here, over to this side, okay? Just come right now and just line them up from the middle to this side only, all right? Just come right now. Don't wait 5 minutes, okay? We'd ask you not to come later. Come right now, all right? Because God wants to help you. God wants to help you. God wants to, he can do manna, all right? If you're coming up here, just make your way over here to this side. Thank you so much. Isaac, so these two folks need to come this side. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this chorus. Let's trust God to do miracles in these lives. Father, we thank you.
You are great.
Yes, you are great.
Miracles.
We want to lay hands on you. Those of you that are just up front, if you're behind them, please just make your way to this aisle, these two aisles right here, and we'll have you come and we'll pray for each and every one of you. We want to lay hands on you. And let me just say this. When hands are laid on you, all right, just like when God spoke to Elijah. So all these folks right here, if you could just go into that aisle, please. Thank you so, so much. Folks over here, go to that aisle. Thanks. When hands are laid upon you, what God told Elijah was, go here and do this. Okay? And so as hands are laid upon you, many of you, what God's going to do is He's going to tell you, go here and do this. All right? And so there will be a part for you to play. And the part for you to play is to simply to obey Him. Amen? All right. And so we're going to trust the Lord to do that in your life. All right. And so we're going to have some folks lay hands on you, folks that God has done these kinds of things in their life. And it just dropped in my heart. Enoch and Belinda, these are two of our board of trustees. God's done wonderful things in the area of their finances. And so if you guys, why don't you just start over here from this side and just together, just pray for each one and just lay hands on them. And then Dawn is a Rhema graduate, a great blessing to this church. And God has done many, many supernatural financial things in her life. And so, Dawn, if you could just start over here. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus again. You guys go ahead and start praying. Hallelujah. The people I believe God wants to minister to is in your physical body. And there might be something that maybe you're overcoming. And thank God for healing. And healing is when God expedites what our body does. And that is our body recovers. And our body overcomes certain things that get in our body. But then we also see in the Word of God that there are miracles. And some of you in your body, what you are in need of is not a healing, but it's a miracle. That means that the doctor says, I can't do anything about this. There's no drug. There's no procedure. Whether the ear or the eye or the body part, it's there's nothing in human ways that would ever give you hope to believe that it can change. All right. What that means is you are a candidate for a miracle. And God does miracles. Amen. God does miracles. And so if that's you, and you say, okay, I'm not in need of a healing where it needs to get expedited, but I really need something that's impossible to come right. If that's you, just come up, and I would ask you to line here up here from the middle all the way over here to your left. And so just come right now. Come in faith. Come in boldness that His hands are laid upon you. That whatever that situation is in your body, it's going to come right. It's going to come right in Jesus' name. So just come as we're singing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
let's just continue. Let's just lift up our hands and let's just say this. Say, Father, I thank you that you love people. And when we're in a tough spot, you do miracles because you care for us. You're moved with compassion for our situation. And Lord, we thank you that bodies are coming right. Miracles are happening in their lives. Father, we thank you that supernatural provision is coming to these people, Father. Beyond what they could do, you're making this take place in their life. And let's just thank him right now. Let's just thank him. The Bible says if one member suffers, we all suffer. And so we can stand and we can surround them with faith and with hope because God is at work and God is moving in their life. Father, we thank you for each and every one of these situations that is completely 100% turned around in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, we love you today. We love you today. We love you today. Oh, we thank you, Father. Everything that's broken is coming right. It's coming right in Jesus' name. It's coming right in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're good. You're good. You're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Let's just sing that one more time. Let's just sing that. Right now, close your eyes. Everything that God has done today, he's done out of love for people, love for every single person that needs him to do these miracles. The greatest miracle we said that happened in the Bible was when God raised Jesus from the dead. It's because he was dead. There needed to be outside intervention. Every single one of us, when we were born into this world, we were born dead. Not physically, but spiritually. We were born apart from God because of sin. We were born into sin and then we chose sin. And so there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God. A dead person can't make themselves alive. And that's why Jesus told a person who went to church and knew a lot of the Bible, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. There has to be a resurrection. There has to be life that comes into you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, Jesus says the same thing to you. You must be born again. You can't make yourself right. You can't clean yourself up. But he can and he will because he loves you. He paid the price. He went to the cross. All the debts have been settled. And what's left for you is a brand new life. You can receive that by faith today. Maybe you're a Christian, but you're backslidden. You're far from God. You can come home to him today. You can come home and receive life, new life today. If you're here today and you say, I need to be born again. I need to give my life to Jesus. Or I need to come home to him. If that's you, simply raise up your hand. Raise up your hand and say, that's me. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to receive forgiveness of sins. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Anyone at all, if that's you. Anyone at all. Today is your day. You don't have to leave here not knowing God. Thank you, Father. You're good. You're a good God. All right. Ushers, help me. I don't think there's any hands. don't want to miss anybody. Okay. Well, can we all stand to our feet as we're going to get ready to go? If there is another need in your life that you want someone to agree with you on the Word of God, a situation that you're facing, there are people up here that would love to just stand with you. And we'll stand upon the Word of God and trust for that to come right. Okay? One of the things that I want as we pray and we conclude this service is that all of us would be open. Oh, God bless you. Okay. And open and willing to receive from the Lord for other people. And so I want us to be more sensitive than we ever have to go through doors of opportunity, to listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit, to pray for someone, to say this, all right? And for some of you, that might be a new thing, all right? But let's go ahead and obey the Lord. And if it doesn't go perfectly, that's fine. But better go ahead and attempt and pray and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, for every single person here, Lord, every life that is here today, Lord, they touch so many other lives in their family, on their job, all the people that they interact with. And Father, all of us come into contact with so many broken and hurting people. And Father, so much of what they need, it's simply not going to get right naturally. It needs your supernatural hand and your power. So Father, use our hands, use our feet. Lord, anoint our lips as you did Isaiah, that we would speak forth of the oracles of God. Lord, to break the chains of the broken. Lord, to bring healing to those who are not right. Father, help us as never before. And Father, thank you that your hand, and as you said in your word, that great grace shall be upon this church. Great grace shall be upon this church. And Father, thank you for making us light and making us a help and a blessing to others. In